Morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. By your gracious Spirit, we are given sight for the holy things and brought to awareness of your teaching presence in our Lord. Grant us the vision to behold your activity in our lives and the wisdom to learn the way of faith through these readings of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're reading this morning from Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. It's on page 1069 in your pew Bible. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is on page 1497. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There was a problem with the computers in the office. Supervisor needed a staff member who was at his house. So the boss called the house, a little voice answered in a hushed tone. So he began, is your daddy there? And the child answered softly, yes. The boss asked, can I speak with him? The child said, no. So the supervisor thought for a moment and asked, is mommy there? And the child answered, yes. The man said, can I speak to her? The child said, no. Getting a bit exasperated, the boss asked, are there any other adults there? Yes. Well, thinking he was nearing the end of his conversation with this child, he asked, okay, who's there? The child said, a policeman. And now he's concerned. He said, look, can I speak to the policeman? No. He's busy. He said, well, what's he busy doing? And the child said, he's talking to daddy and mommy with the fireman. Now it was really getting disturbing. And to add to the confusion, he heard an oddly familiar sound. What's that noise? The man asked John.
A helicopter.
Now, very concerned, the supervisor asked, why is there a policeman, a fireman, and a helicopter there? The child
They're looking for me.
Yeah, so we're looking for a child during Advent. We're expecting right along with Mary and Joseph. Yet we really don't know what's coming exactly, much less what we should be looking for. And we're not alone in our confused state. The coming of a long-awaited child bringing God's blessing is a recurrent theme in Scripture. We frequently run into childless women who are surprised by the blessing of God that has miraculously come upon them. And these children become heirs to the covenant, the servants of God who extend the promise to new generations, who seek to advance God's kingdom in their lives and their works and throughout their society. Okay, something more is happening in the New Testament with Mary. But the idea is the same, that God promises a child who will advance and fulfill the ancient promise for God's people. So in the reading from Isaiah, do we hear about a mysterious child? We have a continuation of the prophet's encounter with King Ahaz of Judah. Now previously, we had heard Isaiah's summons by God to confront King Ahaz, who sees the armies of two small neighbors menacing Jerusalem, the armies of Aram and Israel. Now these northern neighbors, they were being threatened from the north by the mighty army of Assyria. So these small states wanted Judah to ally with them and join the fight. But King Ahaz of Judah has declined. So then those nation states decided to attack Judah together, install their own king who would do their bidding, come and fight with them. Isaiah, the prophet, is told that King Ahaz is ruled by fear. It says, the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. King Ahaz believes that Jerusalem is going to be conquered unless he makes an alliance with a major power like the up-and-coming Assyrians. See how messy this is. The Assyrians are such a threat to Aram and Israel that surely those kingdoms will then withdraw their armies when they see Judah has allied with Assyria. The only problem is that an alliance with Syria is going to come at a very precious cost to Judah. Let's be sure that there's going to be some protection money, for starters. So Isaiah's word to King Ahaz is that these powers, Aram and Israel, are, quote, two smoldering stumps. And look, here we have that image of the stump again. What they have schemed will not work, and their time as kingdoms capable of doing anything to Judah and Jerusalem is quite short anyway, because they've been depicted as these smoldering stumps. So the handwriting is on the wall for them. And the final word from Isaiah to Ahaz in the preceding passage is this: if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So apparently King Ahaz is pondering his options. It's all very messy, we can see that. And he's pondering, It is such a mess that he is coming to endorse the option, do nothing. He's even convincing himself that doing nothing is being faithful to God. Yes, doing nothing will demonstrate his faithfulness before God, because God will handle it. The king needs to do nothing. Ah, the king, wise and faithful. Ahaz is ready to pat himself on the back at coming to this great indecision. Well, in today's passage, Isaiah and God They can't stand him any longer. Isaiah demands, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether it's in the deepest depths or the highest heights. Isaiah is literally begging with the king to do something that will put the king in a frame of responsiveness to God. Seek a sign, pleads Isaiah. Any sign, anything. Well, the king has now fully justified his indecision, rationalizing doing nothing by saying, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. So miraculously, this indecisive coward of a king has suddenly discovered piety, of all things. He has discovered that piety is a tool that he can use to justify doing nothing. Yet since this corrupted notion of piety is disconnected from any serious faithfulness, it's simply stupid. Isaiah recognizes hopelessly stupid when he sees it. He isn't going to waste any further time. The prophet asks, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Because you're too useless to simply ask for one yourself. So he tells the hapless king just exactly what God is doing. The young woman, the virgin, is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. And we know the name Emmanuel means God with us. So Ahaz is told that the presence of God and his people, God with his people, is imminent. It says, it's just like a pregnant woman about to give birth. God's presence is that close. And by the time the promised child is able to discern good from evil, only a few years hence, the child will eat curds and honey. It means that those whom Emmanuel, with whom Emmanuel abides are going to enjoy sweet prosperity and good times. Hey, King Ahaz! The times of blessing are not far off if you could simply be faithful. But since you can't find your spine, much less any faithfulness, condemnation comes. And that's in verse 17. The Lord will bring on you and on all your people, and on the house of your father he will bring the king of Assyria. So we see that what seems to be the easy way out of the mess, the willingness not to act, not to decide, not to make a choice, not to take a stance, that path lacks that key ingredient of faithfulness. So those who embrace a healthy faith are able to make decisions. They can decide not only right from wrong, but also faithful from faithless. The coming promised child, Emmanuel, is a witness to the faithful that God comes to be with God's people who are fearful and anxious and desperate. It is God's witness of shared purpose with God's people as well as shared presence. This is Emmanuel, literally God with us. All right, so now let's consider poor Joseph. I know. How about poor Mary? You know, she's the one who's pregnant by whatever miraculous means and has to bear a child along with the scorn and other things that come from being an unwed, pregnant young woman. But for a moment, we're going to give Joseph a break. We're going to give him a little love. Not a lot, a little. This guy, Joseph, thought that this gal, Mary, she is the one for him, or at least their families, and plans to wed her. It's all been set up. Then he finds out she's pregnant. That would be a big deal, except he hasn't, like, done anything. He hasn't, you know what I mean? He hasn't done anything, right? So now he needs to do something, and I mean, he can't pretend like there isn't anything happening, okay? Mary certainly isn't pretending like there's nothing happening, but she really can't seem to explain her new condition. She says it's an act of God, and that's a phrase we usually find in insurance policies covering instances of unnatural disaster. So that's a tough one, isn't it? It's really gotten messy. And the best thing to do would be to just quietly set aside your plans and part company. Like, let's be friends. But then Joseph has this dream with an angel who told him that this is part of God's plan, having brought about this mysterious pregnancy. She is right. She was right again. Get used to it, Joseph. That's what married life is like. She's right again. So Mary will bear a son who's to be named Yeshua, or Savior. The angel said that this Yeshua will save God's people from their sins. So there's a clear allusion to that Isaiah passage that speaks of the coming of Emmanuel, of God with us, who will bring blessings to the people. And like King Ahaz, you know, Joseph doesn't seek a sign. Indeed, one was already given to him by Mary in her mysterious pregnancy, the blessing of God. Joseph can be forgiven, in my mind, for believing that separating from Mary would really be best. And yet this angel in his dream has shaken him. And again, he didn't ask for a sign, but now Joseph feels he's got to reconsider what his plans were. And as Joseph comes to this crossroads, he's like King Ahaz. He's pondering in his heart and his mind this unusual and complex and rather messy situation that has been revealed to him. And where King Ahaz constructed this facade of faithfulness by refusing to ask for a sign from God, Ahaz's false piety, Joseph, on the other hand, seems to possess a genuine faith. And Joseph isn't getting a particularly new insight in this nocturnal vision from the angel. The angel simply confirms and expands on what Joseph had already learned from Mary. The difficult decision before him isn't altogether clear even now. If it were not for a genuine heart of faith, Joseph wouldn't have continued with Mary, wouldn't have sustained the journey of heart and spirit that God had invited him to join. Joseph required the strength of faith to see through the mess, to be willing to remain in the mess, and make the choice of being obedient to the will of God. It's a strength of faith that King Ahaz never had. What sets Joseph apart is that he believes that God is active in the world. And yes, God is doing things around God's ancient promise with God's people. The problem is, you know, that when God acts in some surprising way, God is very willing to make a complete mess of our lives, turning everything we had supposed, everything we had valued, everything we had planned, inside out and upside down. So for Joseph, it has simply made sense in his heart of faith that God's promise involves him, calling him to take a stand. Let's face it, he'd rather avoid this one. Yes, Emmanuel is God's coming among God's people. Yes, it is the Savior who brings forgiveness of sins for God's faithful, entry to the kingdom way of life, and the promise of new life. But there's more. Because God is coming into our lives, into our daily living, urging us to follow faithfully the light of the Spirit who illuminates a different path from our customary ways. And that can make an adventure into the wilderness. And that will mess up life's order and its patterns. Living a life faithful to the kingdom promise means sacrifices of self for others, reaching out to the untouchable with compassion, with grace, and with love, lifting up the weak, seeking healing for the suffering, and liberation for those who are in bondage. It means offering plenty to the impoverished, acceptance of the outcast and the alien, and justice for those who are trapped in oppression. So God is coming into our lives, and the promise is that God will mess up our lives, just like God messed up Mary and Joseph. If we seek the chosen one who comes, our faith will be tested, our paths will become much less familiar and predictable. But the true life of faith sojourns without knowing exactly where the road leads, or what experiences are going to arise, or what challenges will stretch us and teach us. God is coming into our lives, ready with a messy promise for those who are faithful. And now, it's our turn to decide. Let us pray. Holy and mighty God, we esteem the faithful spirit of Joseph, your servant, sharing your promise of a new way that's founded in your justice, grace, and peace. Turn our attentions from the distractions of the season, and let your spirit focus us on the new life coming in the birth of Emmanuel. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.